And the title of this is Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. And for those of you old enough to remember the film with that gorgeous Sidney Poitier, that gorgeous Catherine Hepburn, and even older, I can't even think of his name, Cary Grant. Well, no, it wasn't. Spencer Tracy. There you go. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. I've got the wrong chapter, Jim. I might have written the wrong chapter down. Luke 14, sorry. So ignore that. I'll read to you. One Sabbath, Jesus went to eat a meal at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and people were watching Jesus closely. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, for they will invite you back, and in this way you will be paid for what you did. When you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they are not able to pay you back. God will repay you on the day the good people, that is the righteous, rise from death." I've not read to you the verses in between, but you can look up that amazing incident. So I've got a question for you, and I need Emma. Can I borrow you, please? I really need your brain power. This is one of my professors, and I need another professor, Sarin. So Emma and Sarin, that would be excellent. And the question is, when you have a party or a sleepover, who are you going to invite? So if you could come up here. So imagining yourself having a party or a sleepover, I want you each to tell me, not their name, but who would you invite if you were planning a really nice party or sleepover?
My friends.
My friends, okay. Would you invite your friends as well, Emma? Okay, would you invite anybody else along?
Maybe some of my family.
Maybe some of the family, that's brilliant. So friends, maybe some of the family. Anybody else? Would you invite me? Well, I would invite you. Would you invite me, Emma? Oh. Okay, so we tend to invite our friends or family. That's brilliant, but I may need you again in a minute. So thanks, guys. That's good. Okay. So when you have a party or a sleepover, who will you invite? I got the answer I expected, didn't I? I would invite my friends. I might invite my brother or I might invite my cousins. How many of us would look around and invite the people who are different from us? People that are not our brothers. Who will invite those who don't look cool? Those who haven't got nice clothes? Or those who don't smell too nice or shower regularly? Will we invite someone to our party that looks different or who can't run up the stairs like us? Can you run up the stairs, Denise? No, I can't. Somebody said to me yesterday, though, how can you invite people into this church with all the stairs? I said, we're working on it, 140 years and we're working on it. Not many of us would invite those sorts of people. We would all invite the sorts of people that Sarin and Emma said, our friends, maybe some of our family. In fact, in life, it's not easy for some people to be included, is it? To join in. Think about the people that don't get invited to the party. Now, Jesus challenged his host, and his host was a very important person, very religious person, a leading Pharisee. Now, why did he challenge this man? I mean, after all, the man had invited him to the party. Well, I think Jesus looked around the room. So you can have a look around the room. And as you go out of the church building, you can look round at what you see. And he looked at some of the peoples and the groups of people that were missing at this party. Jesus had been invited. Well, he was a bit of an oddity. He was unusual. He wasn't particularly normal. He was different. And he was the newest show in town. And in fact, he was quite popular at this stage. And so he was invited. But all the other people invited were those who would be able to invite the Pharisee back. And so pay him back. they would reciprocate and put on a nice spread and invite interesting and powerful people along. They could invite the Pharisee back. Now, Jesus spoke in hyperbole. He used the two extremes to illustrate something, didn't he? So he's here saying, don't just invite your friends, your family, the rich people next door, but invite those people that are on the margins, that are over here, that won't be able to invite you back. And he's making a strong point. See, it cost the Pharisee nothing to invite his friends, his brothers, those that were like him, his relatives, his wealthy neighbours. It was no loss to him, because the next week or the next month they'd invite him back. And even if he'd said to them, what shall I bring? He'd said, oh, bring a bottle of wine, bring some juice, bring whatever. And that's really good when you do a party, because you end up with far more wine or juice. But then when you go back to somebody else, you have so much you have to take it back to them. It hardly costs you anything. A successful society keeps the wheels rolling. It's self-perpetuating. It's hard to break. Some people like it like it is, so they keep inviting certain people. This week I flew back from Edinburgh, and as I was in this long queue at Edinburgh Airport, I was earwigging, with apologies to my husband. But if you're in a queue, you are listening. And some people pretend not to be, and some people just turn their, you know, iPods off and they're listening like this. But I was just earwigging. And in front of me, I learnt an awful lot about these two guys. They were an American and a Brit. They've been playing golf, so they had these whacking great golf cases. I mean, do they really need to be that big? Mine is bigger than yours, you know. He was from Cobham. He was a doctor. He was a consultant. It's amazing what you can find out. They all had on blue blazers and grey trousers and black slip-ons. Oh, sorry, Eustace. So there they were, coming back in, and I was earwigging, and they were talking about Britain, and they were convinced that the class system was flattening out. It's only people at the top that feel it's flattening, but there you go. It was flattening out. And then they got onto schools. So where was this guy going to send his children to school? And I think he was a bit embarrassed, the consultant, and he was talking about how his children would probably go to an independent day school at secondary school and so on. Well, why not? He's worked hard. So I'm not knocking him for that. But what I was confused by was that he thought that society, class system was flattening out. He's worked very hard. I'm not knocking him for that. But what he said was, but basically it's a dumbing down. And I thought, no way, no way. It's not a rising up, but it's not a dumbing down, especially if you remember my talk about how the phrase dumbing down, what it means. Just Google it and you'll see. But he was saying the class system's going. And I was thinking about that. Who would they invite to their party? Who would their children go on to invite to their parties? Who would be coming for their sleepovers? So it was interesting. And honestly, I couldn't do anything else unless I'd stood like that. Next one, please. Have you got it, Jim? Okay. So then, brothers and sisters, when we have a party, who do we invite? Do we limit ourselves to our family? To our brothers, those that are like us? To our wealthy neighbours? Who do we invite? And as those who seek to follow Jesus, do we also invite to the party those who are often excluded? And as part of the church of God, the community of God, do we only invite those to come to the party of the church, the banquet of the church, those who basically cost us nothing? Do we only invite those who will be able to put money into the offering? No, we shouldn't, and I hope we don't. Do we only invite those who add to our credibility and make us look good? Or do we make our invitation and our welcome open to all? Not just we say it is, but we make it so. And it's not a dumbing down. It's a genuine sharing and eating together at table. Next one, please. Jesus goes on in this story, guess who's coming to dinner, to tell his host and those who want to listen, that God extends, and he's the one we copy, God extends his invitation to the great feast to anyone and everyone who is ready to take up the invitation. Now, many people may choose not to be a part of the table where God sits at head, but everyone and anyone who is ready can come. And as a church, this local church or any local church you belong to, we need to make sure that the invitation goes to all and that we are accessible. And by that, I mean welcoming to all. And I mean people who are wealthier than others and so on. It's open to everyone. And that we work together. We leave our grudges and our chips on the shoulders outside and we work together. And as a worldwide church on this day of harvest, we need to offer invitation to the poorest and the weakest to eat at the table, because it's God's table and all the fruits of the world, all the wealth of the world, its oil, its minerals, its fruits are for everyone. Not one country, not one continent, we're not one group of billion trillionaires, and there are some of those in the world. Those resources are for everyone. We need to bear that in mind and to challenge the world to allow everyone to eat at the table the fruits of the world's harvest. So, here's an easy one. When you plan a party or to invite people to God's banquet, we need to consider who we will invite. And Jesus says we shouldn't just invite those who can pay us back. Those are the people that will cost us nothing. Patience, time, and money. And money is almost the easiest thing. It will cost us to invite everyone to be a part of God's banquet. But somebody invited us, didn't they? Guess who's coming to dinner? Well, you never know who you're going to sit next to in the church or at God's table, do you? You never know who's coming to dinner. You're never quite sure who you will sit next to. Jesus is clear that the way we live our lives and do our good works or our acts of righteousness, they should actually not just be to the usual suspects, but we should seek to extend his invitation to everyone. Everyone is invited. Sadly, some will choose not to take part. They will eat at their own table with their own brothers and their own friends. They do not want to eat at the table of God, because actually to eat at the table of God means you need to share those things that are of most value to you. So I exhort you today to remember Jesus, who calls us to share our favourite things with everyone, the most costly items, and to see that everyone knows the invitation to eat together with us. That is our challenge, both locally, in Tower Hamlets, perhaps through the work of Food Bank and so on, perhaps through Alpha, by inviting people to eat and talk with us, and globally, to see that justice is done in the earth. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the wealth, the fruits, are for all to eat. And even those that some would consider unworthy. We are all here. Guess who's coming to dinner? Isn't it going to be exciting to see who else will come? Sadly, some will not. But they must be invited and made welcome. Let's just be quiet. Well, not totally quiet. Let's be still just for a moment and ask the Lord to take his word that we've heard today through many people deep into our hearts.